Best-selling author and NPR commentator Michael Eric Dyson told students and faculty at Illinois State University recent events, including the riots in Charlottesville and debates over Confederate monuments, show white supremacy is seeing a resurgence in the U.S. Dyson, the Georgetown University sociology professor and NAACP Image Award winner, was ISU's keynote speaker at its Martin Luther King Jr. Cultural Dinner. He says the scourge of white nationalist ideology has taken root at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
It is extremely difficult to get real conversations, and beyond conversations, to get real action to resist when you got a white supremacist ideology in the White House, right? Now, Donald Trump ain't smart enough to be that evil in the sense of, you know, with a master plan. He ain't that smart now. Don't give him that much credit. Mike Pence, different story. Hope his relative's not here. I'm just saying. Right, more strategic, more intentional, more systemic. But Donald Trump's problem, though, is that he is attracted to those things which will fuel and foster such horrible, deadly consequences for the sake of political thrill or winning or the narcissism that is white supremacy. Right? So many white people say, hey, Donald, even conservative white people, Donald Trump, that's not us. Oh, yeah, he is. He's not an exception to, he's an extension of. Oh, he's whiteness on steroids, to be certain. But this is what people of color and others have been trying to warn America about white supremacy. This is what it looks like.
Dyson also served up criticism for Barack Obama, who he said didn't do enough to advance social justice when he was in the White House, and for the Democratic Party in this interview with Eric Stock, who Dyson says has become a circular firing squad.
Don't get obsessed with perfection or purity. If we have the politics of perfection or purity, we're going to lose. We've got to have people who are, relatively speaking, not only full of integrity, but good ideas. Every person worth thinking about has a past. So if we start indicting them for that past, as opposed to saying, what can you do to challenge the negative aspects of that past so that we can move forward, we won't win. So I think that Democrats really have to pay attention to the progressive upsurgence in our party that is extremely noticeable, you know, with Ocasio-Cortez and Ayanna Pressley and so many others who were elected, 106 women in this new Congress. We have to pay attention to that. And in doing so, however, we must not in any way subvert the real potential of a Democrat to seize 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue by indicting them so viciously and lacerating them so unmercifully that they end up being harmed by our scrutiny and attack of them, that they don't end up standing the test in the ultimate contest.
Well, speaking of being critical of Democrats, you had said that President Obama, when he was in the White House, did not take on the issue of race strongly enough. What did he fail to do? What could he have done differently?
Well, he could have talked about it earlier than he did. He could have spoken about it more forcefully. Right. Look, we didn't expect Obama to be a Black Panther or Martin Luther King Jr. That's not his role. He's a president. But most other presidents have had to deal with this issue. LBJ had to deal with it. Richard Nixon had to deal with it. Now, the way they dealt with it is problematic. LBJ had to deal with it. So most other presidents have had to address the issue of race. If you want to be like most other presidents and not ghettoized as the Black president, you've got to address the issue of race because it's an American issue. He used his bully pulpit to harass, I think, and harangue Black people. His speech at Morehouse College, his speech before the Congressional Black Caucus. At Morehouse College, he told them, nobody's going to give you anything without you earning it, as if getting a degree is not an earning of a right to participate in society. I saw him at the Congressional Black Caucus where he warned the people to stop complaining, right, about him and his administration or other things that are wrong, and to instead put on their bedroom slippers and take off their bedroom slippers and put on their combat boots. So I think that Obama, an extraordinary president in many ways, maybe top 10 in American presidents in history, but when it comes to the issue of race, was slow to the uptake and ultimately didn't lead as insightfully as he might have. Look, imagine having Michael Jordan in the White House, but he won't talk about basketball, Right? This is a guy who knew a lot about race, who had tremendous insight about it, and yet he felt compelled to be silent or to be racially reticent and not speak out. And I think that damaged not just the interests of black people, but American society.
Should he not have distanced himself from Jeremiah Wright early on in the campaign?
Well, even if that was a strategic distancing, because people were not having nuanced conversations, hearing about Jeremiah Wright's prophetic vocabulary and his regimen of rhetoric that was mobilized in defense of vulnerable people, even if he had to, I thought his speech at least tried to acknowledge that Jeremiah Wright came out of a tradition. Now, he didn't do that as much as he should have or could have, but at least he made an effort at that point in that famous speech that he gave, the race speech. The problem is Obama was making false equivalencies between the anger of white people in the 60s who were resentful of having to do anything about race and black people now. And he flipped that up. He also suggested that black people who are angry now were out of step, so to speak, and that they were akin to white people who were angry about race too. But there's a big difference. One wanted to protect their interests because they didn't want to give up the South. They kept relitigating the war, re-prosecuting Southern terrain and heritage in the Civil War, and those who were fighting against it. When I mentioned Michelle Obama did the same thing. She drew a false equivalency between Jeremiah Wright and the grandmother of Barack Obama. And then she made it an equivalency between the grandmother of Barack Obama, a white woman who made some racially unsavory comments, and, you know, her own black relatives, you know, a couple generations back, who were outraged by vicious racism. Those kinds of moves, I think, are problematic and should have been disavowed by those who were critical of them. I don't mean vicious criticism, just principled criticism.
Author and NPR commentator Michael Eric Dyson with GLT's Eric Stock. Dyson didn't say there's any one Democratic presidential hopeful he would support in 2020, but the ones he's most excited about, Kamala Harris, Kirsten Gillibrand, and possibly Cory Booker or Joe Biden, who he joked was, at times, the blackest man in the White House.